Okay, so as I'm recording this, it's about day 10 of the 14 days to cure the virus. It's about day 10, so you're probably going a little stir crazy by now. Hopefully, you have pivoted and figured out how to at least get your sermons online or have figured out how to live stream your sermons. But today, I want to talk just for a few moments just about the new church paradigm. See, here's a conviction that I have. Here's a belief that I really firmly believe in. I think that we have entered into a new paradigm for church life. Here's what I mean. I believe that now that this has happened, even when things go back to normal, things aren't really going to go back to normal. Or maybe to say it another way, I think things are going to go back to normal, but I think it's going to be an entirely new normal. I don't think people are going to return to our churches like they did before. Now, let me caveat that because I've talked to quite a few people who think as soon as this is over, just like after 9/11, people are going to be so freaked out by what has happened that they're going to run to God. They're going to return to God. And that may be the case. People might return in full fervor to the church. But even if they do, they're going to be changed. They're going to be changed by this. For one thing, they're going to be anxious. They're going to be anxious about your cleanliness. They're going to be anxious about security. They're going to be anxious about being in a room with a bunch of other people. They're going to be anxious about, is this virus going to return? So there's going to be some tension if people return the way that they did before. Also, there's going to be an expectation for people that there is still a digital option for church. So those of you who think you're just getting by, those of you who think you're just putting your sermon online for a few weeks and then you're going to just go back to normal, and yeah, maybe we'll live stream or maybe we'll post a video, but maybe not, but it doesn't have to be that great because we're going to go back to the main thing being in our building. I think you've got another thing coming. I think people are going to expect a digital option. And here's the thing. People weren't coming to church a lot. People weren't coming to the church building a lot before. The super committed Christian was really only coming about 2 out of every 4 weeks. Really, most people were coming about once a month. So people weren't coming a lot before. What makes you think people are going to come back in droves now? And if they do, when they're not there, they're still going to expect a digital option. And so with that in mind, I think church has changed. And I think we need to adapt. And I think we need to adapt quickly. And I think the sooner we do it, the better off we're going to be. And so with that in mind, I have 5 thoughts for you today about the new church. That's what I'm calling this, is the new church or the new church paradigm. 5 thoughts for you, or five things you can do to be better prepared for the new church paradigm. So the first one is to think digital first. Think digital first. What do I mean by that? Well, most of us who have been in church, who've worked at churches, who've grown up in church, we're used to the building being the central thing. We're used to Sunday morning being the central thing. We're used to Sunday morning being the main on-ramp for all that we do, all of church life. And that has a very non-digital analog aspect to it. And so with this new church paradigm, I think we have to start thinking a little differently. I think we have to think digital first. So let me just give you a really practical example. A lot of us, when we think about how do we need to get information out to our congregation, the first thing that we think of is, well, I'll make an announcement from the podium on Sunday. Or if we think about, we need to do a better job of storytelling. Well, how are we going to do that? Let's record a video and show it in the Sunday service. Most of us don't think about getting announcements out or connecting with people or storytelling, telling the story of what God's done in your church. We don't think about doing that digitally first and the service being secondary. Now, I'm not talking about theologically. I'm not getting into, you know, what's the biblical mandate for the gathering of the church. Although I think if we did a pretty deep study on that, we would find that digital gathering is just as biblically appropriate as physical in-person gatherings. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about practically, we live in a digital society, people. We live in a digital society. If you don't believe it, go look at any 16-year-old. They are living a digital life. They are living a digital life. My 16-year-old connects with his friends first on social media, first on his device, and secondarily in person. In fact, he and his friends will be sitting in the same room, and they will connect digitally first and then in person second. Now, you can judge this. You can say, you know, this is insane, or this is dumb, or this is stupid, or we're losing who we are as people. And that's fine. We can have that discussion. But the reality is it's happening. So you can either get on board with it or you can get left behind. This is not a time to dig our heels in and try to fight the system. This is a time for us to lean into the system, to leverage the system, to leverage how people are living their lives. I'll give you another example of this digital first. I have some good friends at the Crossing Church in St. Louis, and a while back they realized that more people were watching their service and participating in their service online than there were in the building. And let me just say this, they're not a small church, so this isn't like there were 25 people in the room and 35 people online. This is like, you know, they're running something like 4,000 people in person and 7,000 people online. So anyway, with this realization that they had, they decided to start focusing on digital first. So when they think about songs, it was, how can we make them sound good online first? They didn't neglect the people in the room, but it was digital first. Or as they're thinking about, how are we going to storyboard this video? They would think about, how's it going to look online first? And then how's it going to look on the screens in the room? Most of us are still living the opposite of that. So I just encourage you, as people are getting used to seeing your services online and people are getting used to living a more isolated lifestyle, it's really, really important that you begin to think about digital first. You've got to change how you think about how you do church. The second thing that I'd like for you to consider as you're thinking about the new church paradigm is decentralization. So up until now, church has been characterized by a central figure, usually the pastor or the preacher, a central figure leading the church. And really that revolved around the service on Sunday morning. I think those days are passing away. I think those days are going to be gone. I think the church is going to be less about a building, a centralized building, and less about a centralized preacher figure who is spoon-feeding us our faith, and more about how the church can be a resource for people. How can we as the church equip the saints to be responsible for their own spiritual lives? How can we as the church help people to, let me give you an example. How can we as the church help fathers lead their families spiritually at home? How can we help mothers lead their families spiritually at home? How can we help them do church at home? And not just once a week, but all week, every day. Maybe before dinner, we help dad learn how to pray. Maybe after dinner, we help dad learn how to put on some YouTube videos of worship and lead the family in some worship time. Maybe we help them learn how to do a little devotional before the family heads out every day. So church needs to be about equipping the saints. It needs to be about helping people help themselves. It's no longer about a centralized, important spiritual leader figure. Now, this is not to say that you don't have an important role still, because you do. You do as the pastor, as the spiritual leader, as the shepherd, you have a role. But your role is going to become less. You're going to be less the hero in people's faith journey and more the spiritual advisor, to borrow some story brand language. So decentralization is going to be key in the new church paradigm. The next thing I want you to think about is contextualization. Contextualization means thinking about providing the church experience or the faith experience or helping someone in their faith in their own context. So when you think about all the different contexts of people in our congregation, this can be a little overwhelming because there are a lot of contexts. You have married families, traditional families, you have blended families, you have single moms, you have single dads, you have singles that have never been married, you have widows, you have widowers, you have children, you have students, you have men, women. So there's lots of different groups within the church, and there's lots of different contexts for each of those. So you have to think about, how do you provide resources? How do you provide church for the father leading his family? How do you provide church for the single mom that wants to lead her family? How do you provide church for single adults who want to do this church thing with their friends? So as we grow into this new paradigm, people are going to want their experiences more contextualized. And we have to begin thinking about church less holistically, although that is extremely important for all of the different generations to do life and church and faith together. But we also have to think about it individually, contextualized. Now, that's different than my next point, which is to individualize your ministry to people. individualize your ministry to people. So I remember one time I was talking with Stephen Brewster, a friend of mine, and we were talking about Snapchat way back when Snapchat was just first coming around. And I was telling him I didn't get it. And, you know, I was working at a church and I was trying to think about how to reach people using Snapchat like I did with Facebook or Twitter or email or any other digital tool. And he said, the problem is you're thinking about Snapchat all wrong. It's not a broadcast medium. It's a individual one-to-one medium. So you have to use Snapchat to reach people on an individual level. And then you just do that on a broad scale. So you do it over and over and over. So even more so now, as we're moving into this digital world of the new church paradigm, we have to begin to think about how do we minister to people on an individualized level, in an individualized way. So again, going back to the previous point, it's about their context, but it's also about one-to-one, personalized, individualized interaction. Personalized, individualized ministry. And it's hard because you can't do it and be lazy. You can't do it and be efficient. It's organic. It's getting your hands dirty and getting down into the mud with an individual and doing that over and over and over for every person in your church. And if you have a huge church, you can't do that for everyone. You can't be, as the senior leader, you can't be that for everyone. Or as the communications director, you can't be that for everyone. So you have to build leaders, volunteer leaders or sub leaders in your ministry who can do that. You have to train them and equip them and teach them and mentor them and lead them and shepherd them into being that individual one-on-one personalized leader for people. So contextualization is going to be really huge, and individualization or personalization is going to be really important as we move forward. Here's the last thing I want you to think about. I want you to think about, how do you serve in a post-building era? The post-building, so we talked about the post-modern church and the post-Christian church, but how do you serve in a post-building church? Yeah, we got to think about that. So think about how to serve beyond the building. Here's an example. I've heard this already by a bunch of you out there, and it's not a terrible idea, but this is a different way of thinking. So a lot of you are thinking already, if we can't be in the church building together, how do we get people to come to our building for Easter? And a lot of people are talking about doing drive-in church, which again, not a terrible idea, but it's missing the point of this new opportunity that we have, that this disruption has caused. You're still thinking, how do we get people to come to us, as opposed to how do we go to them, or how do we serve beyond the building? Or a lot of you can't wait for this to be over so that you can get people back in the building. You're freaked out that people aren't going to come back to the building. And you're probably right to be freaked out, because they may not come back. They may, I don't know, they may come back in droves. We may have higher church attendance and more regular church attendance than we've ever had, but I doubt it. And so with that in mind, how can we begin to shift our thinking to think beyond the building? I think it's going to be really important as we go forward to figure that out. And I don't have all the answers on that. I do know some ideas that I've had in the past, such as go to your local parks and do, you know, big backyard Bible clubs, or not even Bible related things, not even spiritual things, but go to a neighborhood. For example, my neighborhood has a bunch of common areas. If a church were to show up in one of our common areas and blow up a bunch of inflatables, you know, rent generators and rent inflatables and blow them up and have a big party in the park. Now, you couldn't do it right now because people can't be playing on inflatables and people can't be around with all their germs and viruses. After all, we're social distancing right now. But if somebody had done that, you know, last summer, or if somebody were to do that later this summer, we would have a ton of families that would come and get to know each other and get to know the church in our neighborhood. And you could do that in every neighborhood in your area, or you could go to a public park and do that. You know, just make sure you get the proper permissions. Or maybe go to a little league baseball park and bring a grill and show up and just cook hot dogs and, you know, hand out cans of Coke or soda. Give those to people just for free and just tell them, hey, we're just here to love on you because we're the church and we're here to serve. And just get out beyond your walls. Find out how to serve the homeless in your area, or find out how to serve a lower income area somehow, or go rake leaves for an elderly person, or go mow the grass, or pressure wash, you know, somebody's house who can't do it themselves. Anyway, the church has dabbled in this, I feel like, over the years. But we still, the whole point has always been to get people to come back to the building on Sunday morning, to come back to the church. And I think those days are leaving us. So I want to wrap this up by just saying this. Every problem is an opportunity. Every problem is an opportunity. And with this disruption, this crisis that we've had, we have an opportunity as the church to lead and transition and be a light in the darkness. And so I hope you'll pray about that. And I hope this is helpful. And let us know how we can serve you.